about talking to you about your bonus baby days.
I
wrote you about a month ago asking if I could speak with you about your days as a bonus baby.
Yeah.
Is this a good time to talk to you?
You bet.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
As I told you in the letter, I'm going to try to write a book. Jim Small, who was a bonus baby, suggested it, and I thought it sounded like a real good idea. I'm having a little trouble talking to a lot of the guys because I guess they don't want to talk about it. But fellas like you who have responded, I really appreciate. I'll ask you, I don't know, 10 or 12 questions, and if you would, please just answer as short or as long as you want to, and
sure.
Feel free to add anything. If you don't want to answer something, just don't answer it.
Okay.
One thing I found in talking, I guess I've talked to probably 15 or 16 fellows now, the reported bonus and the actual bonus were pretty much not the same thing. What was your actual bonus?
Right. In my case, it sure were.
They were the same?
No, they were different.
Oh, okay.
But the paper stated and the card, $60,000. I got $15,000.
Holy mackerel!
15. Well, I asked my sports writer here in Ada. I said, "What in the world's wrong with you? Why did you print the right status about this thing?" He said, "Well, it just makes it more interesting for people to read," which I guess he was right.
Well, sure it does. That's the biggest discrepancy I think I've heard yet.
Yeah, well, it is 15, and my dad got $5,000 for because I was underage. I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he got $5,000 of that for signing the contract with me.
Wow. Well, it's still a lot of money to a kid your age, huh?
Yeah, it was back then. It was quite a bit of money, and we were farm people, you know, lived out in the country, and it was a lot of money to me.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, who scouted you for the Cubs?
Roy Hardrock Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
For the Cubs. I had several of them, from different clubs. Wog Rice from Boston back then. Now I nearly got $60,000 from Boston. That's probably where he got the idea to print it, even though it wasn't true.
Uh-huh.
Wog Rice followed me all through high school. He he even furnished me a car when I was dating my wife, who I'm married to now, 30 some odd years, and. He went through the whole office, his whole organization, or his front office, and it all passed except Lou Boudreau was their manager then, and he didn't want another bonus ball player as long as he was managing the ball club, and that fell through because of him.
Huh.
For $60,000.
Well, that's a shame.
But what he did, see, my dad was... a sheriff here for 16 years, and then he retired and went into the tag office business, tag agency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that particular day after graduation from high school, there were several scouts interested in me, and we set a date for everybody to come up there, and the highest bidder I was going to go to. Well, Walt Rice from Boston, even though he knew that he couldn't get me, he's going to come up there and up the bid, and get me more money. But nobody but him showed up.
I'll be darned. I guess that's a lot of money, and at the time you signed, there were already a lot of bonus babies around.
I'm sure there were, yeah.
And I guess the money was, the rosters were getting thin, the money was getting thin. One thing, I'd have to look back now on the other fellows I've talked to, but you're one of several who was actually offered more money by Boston, but who ended up signing with somebody else.
Is that right?
And nobody seemed to know the reason, but you mentioned Boudreau. Maybe this was what was behind it. I don't remember who right now. Well, Jim Brady signed with the Tigers, was offered, I think, 65 by Boston, or 60. See, I guess it was 60 also. Uh-huh. And ended up signing with the Tigers for half that.
Right.
How many total teams scouted you?
I'm not sure. I want to say just practically all of well, I'd say all of the major league ball clubs. I'm not real certain, but there were several of them. That's the reason we set a certain date for everybody to come in and bid. Lord, I'm not real sure. Just tell me, but like I say, they were several.
I can imagine. Now, your high school record, I have read, was 49-1. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good, no matter where you're pitching at any level.
Well, seven no hitters and two perfect games.
Wow, you have got that down in my notes. Yeah, that's something. Is that record available by any chance?
You know, I'm not real certain. I just don't know for sure just where a person would even have to check to see.
What was the name of your school?
Bing, B-Y-N-G. It's a consolidated school 6 miles north of Ada.
Okay, I'll drop my line here to the baseball coach or something, see what they have.
All right.
They're very difficult to get, but I'll check it out anyhow.
Okay.
You were in college, is that right, when you were signed?
I was on a basketball scholarship.
Where?
In my hometown, East Central State University now. Back then, it was East Central State Teachers College. But I was there on a basketball scholarship. And I played one semester, and I told my coach that I'm trying to sign a professional baseball contract, and he said, well, that's okay. He said, it'd be nice to have you as long as we could have you anyway, you know. I did sign in February of 55.
In your freshman year?
Yes, sir,
Did you go back to college after you signed?
Yeah, I got a total of 73 hours in, and that's all I've got.
Well, that's a step in the right direction. One of these days, you've got nothing else to do, you can go back and finish it up.
Well, like I said, I've been in law enforcement 25 now, and I'm about ready to retire from there.
What are you?
I'm the sheriff here now.
Oh, very good. Do you know whose roster spot you took with the Cubs?
No, I don't right offhand. I sure don't.
It's generally been a fringe older player, but... I'd say at least half.
Bob Rush was one of the main number one starter, you know, Bob Rush and Warren Hacker. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think. The big left-hander there, big...
Paul Minner?
Paul Minner was there, yeah, Paul Minner, but I'm thinking about a reliever. Pictusis or something like that.
Who?
John Saturis?
Saturis?
No,
let's see who we got here. I got the Cubs from back then. Let's see.
I can see him right now. He had the biggest nose I have ever seen.
Well, Sam Jones is right now. They had Jim Davis.
Sam Jones, I'll tell you what, Sam stands out more than anybody because Dutch Leonard was my pitching coach. But, you know, I learned more about pitching from Sam Jones than anybody. I just didn't have anybody to really... I feel like I could spend a lot more than 3 years in the major leagues if I had the proper coaching. I hate to say it about Dutch Leonard, but he did not help me one bit. But Sam would. He would try to get out there and watch what I was doing, and when he wasn't pitching, we'd get out in the outfield, and I'd go through a few things where he saw I was doing wrong. But Sad Sam was a very close friend of mine. I think Sam is deceased now.
Yes, he is, and I understand. Everybody that's ever mentioned him has said what a nice fellow he was.
Oh, he was great.
That's the question I was getting to. Let's get to that right now. The position players said that they got reasonable coaching and help. The pitchers I've spoken with, just to a man, said they did not get the proper coaching that they needed for their age and their experience. Evidently, yeah, you're the same. Was there an effort made? In a couple of cases, they say there was just really no effort made even.
My pitching coach, all he wanted to do is please the crowd, autograph baseballs and what have you. But he was not, I don't know how he stayed up there myself as a pitching coach, because he did not help me one bit.
Okay. Duck was around a long, long time, and I expect he had a lot of friends.
Well, a long time. He sure was.
Did he actually do anything, or did he just let you exist on your own?
Even though, you know, I was out there pitching or something, maybe I did just a little different groove than what I'm normally pitching. Well, he wouldn't try to correct me. He wouldn't do nothing.
Oh, my.
Not a thing. He wouldn't ask me between innings, well, you're doing this and that, you know. Or after a game, or the following day, or something like that, you have to work with me. He never did.
Oh, but even the fellas that had minor league experience that came up, they said the feeling, the opinion generally in the early and mid-50s was that when you made the majors, you'd made the majors and you didn't need help anymore. And they just didn't get it. Now, these are guys that have been in minor league 5 years said that.
I think you need help because you're out there working so hard on trying to get that batter out. You may get into a different groove, you know, just not trying to, but just so happens you do.
Well, I've got a son who's a college pitcher right now, and he will, in a minute, in a blink of an eye, he'll go off and his mechanics will be messed up.
Yeah, right.
That's the age.
It's so easy to do. In fact, I'm just watching the Braves beat the Cincinnati in extra innings just now.
Yeah, just turned it off on the radio just as I called you.
Yeah, well, like I say, I got a real good friend who's the third base coach for the Cubs right now, Chuck Cottier.
Uh-huh.
Real personal friend of mine. Played minor league ball together. And that's about the only one I can recall, you know, playing with, and now it's still active.
Well, that's been a long time, Don.
Oh, it sure has. I'd love to get back in baseball. I'd love to as a scout some way or a coach or whatever. I look at him, I envy him now, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I've been in law enforcement 25 years and sheriff for 9 years, I'm retiring at the age of 57 next year, and I've still got some time left. I think I could help somebody.
I interviewed Jack Spring for a magazine article about a year ago. He pitched well in both leagues back in the 60s, and he's retiring from he's a teacher, and he's retiring, and he's gotten a part-time job with the Angels as a not part-time. Well, it's part-time as a scout.
I'd love to do that.
And you've got a friend like Cottier. You ought to talk to him.
I've talked to him. You know, of course, I haven't had anything happen. I talked to him last year. In fact, I saw him the year before last, barnstorming back through Oklahoma City, and I talked to him just for a few minutes. But you know, and I also wrote him a letter, and I've contacted him by phone a couple, three times since then, and I know he's busy and everything, but still, I just, you know, I hate to bug him, but I just love to get back in some way.
Well, that'll be amazing. You know, you've got the experience. It's not like you haven't played the game.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I wish you luck. I hope you can.
Well, I'm going to keep trying.
when you joined the Cubs, and this is a question I've gotten real varied answers to. What kind of reception did you receive from your teammates?
Well, it's just kind of negative, you know. It's kind of a negative reaction because the Cubs now, I don't recall, I was the first ball player they've had. Oh, gosh. Maybe the first. I'm not sure.
I think you were the first. Yeah.
I think I was. But, you know, I wasn't treated bad or anything, but just not, you know, overwhelmingly great, you know, just a kind of another ball player.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's better than some fellows, but that's still, you're a kid and you're away from home.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But there was nothing real, I'm not trying to dig up any dirt or anything, but there was no real bad adverse reaction to you.
No, sir, they weren't.
Okay, good.
No, they weren't.
You had two managers there, Stan Hack and Bob Sheffing. Now, I understand both of those were really, really nice fellows, but how did they accept
Stan
you?
Stan Hack was great. At Bob Sheffing, when he won the Pacific Coast League out in L.A., and that particular year, 57,
mm-hmm.
no, 56, I believe it was.
56 for the Angels.
His ball club up there in 57. Bob Speak, gosh, this is several others.
Bulger.
Bulger, Jim Bulger.
Yeah, I know.
And, yeah, well, of course, he had a good ball club.
Wilco.
And they hit the ball club a lot, but he did bring a lot of his ball players with him.
Yeah. But did they accept you for what you were, as that being a young fellow without the experience? And
yeah, they did. I had Clyde McCullough as a catcher, and also Walker Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, and you the old veterans, you know, and I'd get out there to warm up like a spring training my first year, 55. And I'd throw a curveball, and I'd say, well, here comes a drop, you know. That's what we used in high school. You come out there, it's fun, you're in the biggies now. Curveball's a curveball. I never will forget that.
I guess we all threw drops until we got to where somebody could tell us what they were.
Right, absolutely right.
Well, I was talking to Jim Small. He said that when he was in high school, living at home, he had to be in the house at 9 o'clock at night, and preferably in bed. And then all of a sudden, he signed, and was 3 or 4 days later, he was in New York and was trying to figure out how to tip somebody for carrying his bag. So the adjustment was really, really tough. Did you find that to be the case?
I did. I sure did. You know, I just had to ask somebody. I said, well, what do you do? How much you tip? You know, this and that. I had to ask some of the other ballplayers who've been around a while, you know, what to do, when we go somewhere, especially on a road trip or something. And, after that first round, you got to know what you need to do.
Were they helpful along these lines?
Yeah, they were. They were real helpful. My ballplayers were. They were real helpful to me. Here's what you do, you know, and this and that, you know.
I can imagine, coming from a farm, you were even probably more lost than somebody who came from a city.
Was I ever. I never forget the first time, right before the season opened in Wrigley Field. Where I was staying before I wasn't married the first year up there, but my girlfriend and her family had come up later on during the season, but I was staying in a hotel. I'd say about 7 blocks from the ballpark. And I walked to the ballpark for practice. And at the practice, I came out of the ballpark. And instead of turning a certain way, I turned the opposite. And I walked down, I bet I walked a country mile. And I hailed a taxi cab coming down there. I said, could you take me to the Sheraton Plaza Hotel? And he said, yes, sir. I said, you're quite a ways off from it. I made a mistake by telling some of the other guys in the clubhouse the next day and not realize the sports writers were just swarming everywhere, you know. And the headlines in the Chicago Tribune, I think, the afternoon or the following day, Bonus Baby gets lost in the city.
I bet you had a while living that down, too.
Oh, boy, I sure did. I sure did.
Well, your second year there, 56, you were, well, maybe not exactly a member of the rotation, but you were at least the fifth man there, and you pitched very well.
Well, June the 18th, I believe, 16th or 18th, 1956, I got my first start against the Dodgers. And if I'm not mistaken, they won the championship the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was in Wrigley Field, and Stan Heck didn't. He said, I knew you was going to start the night before, but I didn't want to tell you because I'm afraid you wouldn't have had a good night's sleep, which I probably wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 minutes before game time, he had me gave me the game ball. Said, you're in there today, son. Said, Rush was, I think, scheduled to pitch. But he had come up with a sore arm or something. But anyway, and I didn't have time to get scared. So I went out there and warmed up, and I threw a two-hitter against the Dodgers 8-1.
Wow.
And I got to start every 4 or 5 days.
Okay, so from that point on, you were in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the rotation. Yes.
You threw a shutout. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It seemed like it was 7-0 against the either New York Giants or Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm not sure which.
Well, you were not on a real good team. The Cubs in those days were
on a second division ball club.
Yeah. And really didn't have a whole lot of talent anywhere except maybe Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks, Gene Becker was a second baseman. Of course, he's just an average ball player, but they always call it the Becker-Banks combination, you know. And
yeah.
Lee Fondy at first base, Randy Jackson at third. And, we just had it was a second division ball club.
But you... Yeah, earned run average of 359. That's considerably better than the league's average, considerably better than the team's average. You appear to be a major league pitcher at that point. I mean, that you're on your way.
I pitched better ball against the first division ball club than I did the second division, and why to this day I just can never figure it out. I know that I had two, game of the weeks on Saturday only, when Dizzy Dean and his crew the game of the week on Saturdays. I had one in Epps Field against Don Newcomb. That's when I first met Dizzy Dean. I can't remember the date, but it was in 56. And, of course, Epps Field was a real small ballpark itself.
Sure.
But he beat me 3-2, but I pitched the whole game. And I never will forget the first time I bat left-handed. I swung my eyes, just closed my eyes and swung at one and hit a line shot to Duke Snyder in center field, furthest part of the ballpark. I backed him up. And I just hold the bat tight, and I'm telling you it wrong in my hand just fell. But I did something, I don't know what it was, but it was just, I picked a better ball against the first division ball club. I remember, I guess I faced Willie Mays 25, 30 times. He got two hits off of me.
Wow.
One of them was a single, one of them was a home run. And it's hard to tell you this, but the single was hit harder than the home run when you're playing in the polo ground in
the
park. The batting line's about 240, And I knocked him down this one particular game. And I knocked him down, and I came back with a sidearm curveball. He just reached across the plate. And they hit an opposite field HR 240 feet job.
Yeah, those were killers there too.
Oh, boy. They were.
Well, what happened to you between 56 and 57?
56, 57. Well, Bob Sheffin, brought his people in, and then you had Dick Drott, and I'm not sure whether Mo Dabrowski. He was another most ball player after me, but I kind of got out of a rotation. And then I just wasn't sharp. I just could not. I might pitch every 5, maybe 7 days, something like that. And I just wasn't sharp at all. And that got me sent down to the minors for 6 weeks. And I came back up in the season. I went to Portland, Oregon, for 6 weeks. And I had a 7-5 or 6-5 record out there. And I came back up this season with them, but. And after that, I was sold to Milwaukee Braves in the winter of 58.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got out of a rotation, and when I did pitch, it knocked me out pretty good, pretty fast. And then it'd be that much longer before I could start another one, and I just got out of the rotation.
The routine is very important for a lot of guys.
Yes, it is.
And as I said, my son pitches college ball, and I see it in him. If he can depend on he pitches Saturdays and Wednesdays. If he can depend on that, everything's fine.
Oh,
if they change it, his next outing is horrible.
It's you have a focus thing.
How long did you play in the minors?
I played four more years. I went to the minors in 58, and I played for... Milwaukee Braves. I spent some time with Milwaukee, but they had three 20-game winners in AAA in Wichita, Kansas, Joy J, Juan Pizarro, and another guy, I can't remember his name, Carlton Williams.
Right. Yeah.
And I knew where I was going then. So I spent some 58 in Wichita, Kansas, 59, I went to AA ball in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I was traded to Detroit Tigers. And winter 59, and I spent 60 with with Denver Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Birmingham, Alabama, to play double-A ball in 61, and then I was released in the spring of 62 from Hawaii, independent ball club at that time.
And was that it for you?
That was it.
What kind of minor league record did you have up to that point, do you recall?
Oh, gosh. Right offhand, I can't tell you.
That's on the record. I can look that up.
I don't remember.
But this next question is one that I know the answer. I know it's a hard question to answer simply because it's kind of nebulous. But can you give me your honest opinion of the bonus rule?
Well, I think it was bad back then. I think that we're out to get as much money as we possibly can. But I think that the minor league experience would have really helped a lot.
You think then that you can pretty honestly, in your opinion, say that the bonus rule was damaging to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think those guys like Kaline, I guess, and Koufax, but.
Oh, yeah, those are exceptions.
Yeah, right. Most guys aren't Kaline and Koufax.
That's exactly right.
Well, this next question, again, you go back, you're 19, 20 years old, and somebody waves a fistful of dollars in front of you that you've never seen before. But would you do this again, realizing that you were not going to get, assuming that you could realize you were not going to get the coaching, would you take this bonus money again and try it again?
No, I would go ahead and go to the college and play college ball. And hopefully that someone would break then. Of course, if I had done that then, well, of course, they knocked out the bonus rule by the time I got out of college.
Sure.
Who knows, then I had a college experience, too.
Yeah. College ball wasn't then what it is today, but still they had some good programs.
It sure was.
Southwest, well, I guess you weren't quite Southwest, but that area seemed to have a little better baseball than most places, but still it was.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, from what I've read about you, from what I've heard about you, from what I remember, I'm a few years younger than you, but I was a big baseball fan, and I had high hopes of playing and was quite good enough. But I followed all this stuff along, and you had evidently a world of talent from all I've read and heard and remember from.
Well, I can say I could have had a free ride in college if I just took it,
Mm-hmm.
Foresee the future, I guess you might say, and I played basketball and baseball in high school, and we had a real good 4 years in high school in both. Out of 4 years in baseball, we won 3 state championships out of 4.
Wow, that's really good.
Baseball won out of 4, but the final year when we won state in basketball also. And I was an All-American nominee in basketball. And then I played, during my junior, senior year, I played semi-pro ball in Oklahoma, dunking what we call dunking cementers. And we went to the national tournament in it, and I played against Billy Martin when he was in the service with Wichita Boeing Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, and we didn't win it, but I was made, honorary mention for All-American in that tournament.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty tough competition.
Oh, you bet. It was.
Well, you were a victim of the same thing dozens of other young men were, and that's a shame. But obviously, there's nothing going to be undone about it. I'm going to try to tell the story as well as I can. Well, let me ask you a question. It just occurred to me.
Sure.
Bruce Swango from Welch, Oklahoma.
Okay, he played in Center State League ball in Class D before my turn.
Did you know where he is now by any chance?
No, I sure don't.
Okay.
I had an older brother that played in Center State League ball as a left-handed pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And, like I say, I remember that Wingo.
He signed a year or two before you did.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
And never did make it at all.
No, he didn't. I knew he didn't go. But I don't know what ever happened to him. I haven't heard his name mentioned in years.
Well, it's consensus. One of the Orioles who was with him there said that he thought he was still in Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's a pretty big state when you're trying to look for one person.
Yeah, it is. It really is. My dad, you know, he used to play a lot of satellite ball right here when he was growing up, too. And, of course, he was sheriff here in 33 through 49. And he always wanted me to follow his footsteps once I got out of baseball. Of course, we had American Legion Baseball Club here, and he'd always transport our team in a pickup with beaches in the back of it, you know, and that's where we'd travel. So he always followed me real close. So I followed his dream before he died and became sheriff here. But I tell you, I've had it for law enforcement. I've had my share of it, and I will pull up stakes and let somebody else younger than me try to take care of it.
I guess it can be a very, very rewarding experience, but I bet you there's more headaches than you could possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah, they are. There's a lot of headaches, and oh gosh, you just gotta handle them like these criminals with gloves on anymore, because they're going to sue you.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather be back in baseball.
Well, I hope you can get back. I hope you follow it up, and I hope you can get there.
I sure will try.
Let me ask you this. It's probably going to be a year or two before I get all this together, because I've got to go to the National Baseball Library, get the Hall of Fame, and get some background information and a lot of stuff. But before anything is published, do you want to read the part that concerns you?
Well, if it's not too much trouble.
Oh, it's not trouble at all. I'd rather you do, actually. Okay. I don't want anybody to come out and holler 6 months later that this is not what they said. And
sure.
I feel a lot safer and a lot more comfortable.
That'd be great.